got a call from Brother Randy, and he said, I'm not going to be able to be there, so would you fill in? Couldn't find out I was last resort, but that's okay. You know, one thing that we look at in the world today is there's a lot of unhappiness. There's a lot of anger and fear. So I simply entitled this, I'm not going into Romans because that's Randy's thing, but I've simply entitled this, Don't Worry, Be Happy. You know, I think that's one thing this whole world needs more of right now, is we don't need to worry about everything, especially us Christians, because God's in control. We put our faith and trust in Him to take care of all of our problems and everything we have. We look around us at all the pain, the death, the fear. You know, that's one of the three most powerful weapons that Satan has for us today. And that is fear, doubt, and anger. He has sown it within our very fabric, within everybody, in our churches even. You know, he really works with that fear because, yeah, we have a pandemic going on. We have had for a couple of years, but we've had pandemics in the past. You know, people are afraid of it. We pray to God, Lord, help us with this situation. And He's given us the vaccine. Now, I'm not, you know, going to force the idea of, you know, everybody should get the vaccine and, you know, you're damned if you don't. But it's your personal choice. But I find it interesting, if you study the Bible, even the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, Satan sent in the vipers to start biting them. And what did they use? God told them to put an image of a serpent up on a stake and put it in the middle of the camp. And all the people had to do was look upon it and have faith that it, just by looking, and they would be healed. And you look at the emblem for the medical field today, what is it? It's a serpent on a stick within the symbol of medicine, and doctors, and nurses. That's the emblem that still shines today. We put our faith and trust in that emblem, in the people behind that emblem, to heal us, to give us the strength. Yes, God sent the vaccine, or, you know, it's not a cure-all. It doesn't cure it, but it helps us with it. Fear is the biggest thing. We have people out there that are saying, you know, don't get the vaccine. It's a government ploy that it's a way of them putting the chip in it where they keep track of it. You know, that's one of the things that's out there. There's 100 different ones out there, but that's just one. Instead of, okay, it's like the flu shot. It's like, you know, the polio shot that they had years ago. Okay? Doubt is also put in people's minds. You know, it's not just with the vaccine and not just with the pandemic that's going on, but it's doubt. You know, I don't know about them anymore. You know, used to, we know all of our neighbors. They were like family. In a lot of instances, neighbors were family. But they all came together to help people. You know, if somebody had, there was a sickness in the family and they couldn't get the crops in, well, the community could come in and get the crops in for them. If the barn burned down, well, they'd make a party out of it and build a new barn. Today, we're afraid to go talk to our next door neighbor. We hardly ever know our neighbors as a whole. You know, we may know them when we see them or run into them in the grocery store or something, but to actually know them like family, we don't anymore. We're afraid of those people. Fear has come into our lives. And anger. There is so much anger in the world today. It's not just in the United States. It's not just in our city, but it's worldwide. It has spread. There is so much anger, and Satan is using that to destroy families and destroy communities and so forth and so on. Fear destroys the mind on how you look at things. And it's not just fear of the pandemic or fear of going out, but it's the fear of the little things too. You know, some of us have the fear of insects, fear of heights, fear of water, and it goes on and on. And sometimes that fear freezes us to where, you know, we're so scared we can't move. Doubt destroys our social life, our the people around us, because we don't want to socialize with those people. You know, we've become such a stereotypical society that we only want to associate with people like us. You know, we don't want to associate with the poor and downtrodden or the homeless people because I'm better than they are. Or we don't associate with other races because of the fact of the conflict, the racial imbalance. And I'm not just talking about whites, blacks. I'm talking about all races, all religions. And I'm not a universalist, don't get me wrong, but I believe there's true saved people in every denomination. They may worship differently. They may believe some things differently. But that's how God made us. He made us as individuals. He made us to where we can make our own minds. You know, I was a member of a church one time that if a black person come in the back door, they would either ask them to leave, or if they came in and sat down, they would spread out away from them. They even had it in their bylaws, which I didn't find out until later, that if a black person attended the service, that they wouldn't offer an invitation. I was afraid that they'd come forward. But yet, they were live on the radio every Sunday morning, so what's going to keep you from listening to the gospel? And there's churches like that all across the country. We have become a stereotypical society. Because all the negativity of, well, they don't look like me, they don't believe like me. And that's one thing that God has taught through the ages against. Satan is using that royally. And we see that more and more in, as time goes by. But I'm not here to really downgrade everything. Because one thing we really need is uplifted. We need hope. And that's some of the things that God really has said to us. Did you know, Randy brought up the point a week or so ago in the sermon. He made the comment, if you're in an argument with somebody or somebody's really heated with you, how much things really change if you say, I'm going to pray for you or I love you. And sometimes even smile at them. You know, in Proverbs 15:1 it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, it's real easy to build the conflict, to fuel the fire, so to say. But if you just stand there calmly and say, I love you. They really don't know how to combat that. They don't know what to do. Or I'm going to pray for you. Or God loves you. You know? And say it with a smile. And they, something's wrong with this person. I'm going to leave them alone. You know, type thing. And that's the way society is today. But how much further is just a pat on the back, a smile, a kind word, or a hug can go in showing love to this world? You know, some of the downtrodden people, they're having the worst day in the world. If you just come by and smile, and pat on the back or something, shake their hand even, how much of a difference that's going to make in their lives that day, or even forever, or as that goes. There are things going on that we have no control, but we can control. You know, God has, I think, you know, the things that Satan has in his powerful arsenal of weaponry against us, but God has the same number of powerful weapons that he has. And a lot of people today, and especially a lot of Christians today, have really forgotten. One is hope. We can give hope. We as Christians have more reason to have hope for the future than anybody else. Because Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, is going to come back and get us. And it's coming sooner than later. Yeah, we've heard for thousands of years that Jesus is coming back and he hadn't yet. So is he really? He's promised it. And every promise that God has made to us, he's kept. So if you really believe and if you really have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know he's coming back. You have that. Another is love. God loves us. It tells us in Scripture, plainly, that he knows every hair we have on our head. Or how many we've lost. You know, he knows everything there is about us. And he loves us and cares for us. He surrounds us with his love, and nothing can penetrate that love of protection. No matter how much we think that something that little that we can do is going to destroy that love for us. Then there's peace. And that has to do with the first two. He gives us hope. He surrounds us with his love. And once we're there, we're in total peace. Because we have the feeling that nothing around us can hurt us. We look in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul had that understanding when he wrote this. It doesn't matter about me, but who lives through me to shine into the other people. He had the love of others. We go into chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know, we get sometimes, and I do, get down in the dumps sometimes, and the only thing we can think of is ourselves. But, you know, when we're working for somebody else, or we're giving to somebody else, or we're loving somebody else, and to put somebody else before us, you know, we kind of forget about ourselves. Because our attention is pointed towards somebody else. Their needs are more than our needs. Then we look on over in chapter 4, verse 4. And by doing for others, it clearly states in 4 and 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Because when we're doing God's work, when we're doing for others, we're happy. Happiness is right there with us and for us. All we have to do is believe and reach out and grab it. And I know everyone has seen this or has it to where they can see it every day, is Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me." With this knowledge that I can do anything. Well, we get to thinking, well, God can't do stuff like he used to. God is the same today, as he was yesterday, as he is in the future. God never changes. We do. And it's how we look at people. You know, John F. Kennedy made the statement in one of his famous speeches, was ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, we can look at that as like for Christians too, and turn it around. Ask not what your church, or ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God. Because that's our ultimate goal. That's our ultimate job description in this world as Christians, is working for Him and for others. Another scripture is 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. And it states in there, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We as Christians don't have faith in that hardly anymore. We see people, okay, I think you need to turn down a little. We as Christians have sunken back and hiding in our houses. This pandemic has forced us to be afraid of going out, of being fearful, to where we don't want to socialize with anybody. We're afraid. But we cast all of our cares on God, and He has control of our lives. Everything is going to be well. Well, I feel so alone. I can't go out. You know, I don't have family or anything. I'm tired. I just feel like I'm all alone. We're never alone if we truly have that faith and belief in Jesus Christ, because He's right there with us every step of the way. Genesis 28:15 says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Everyone's got a job to do. We may not even know what the job is, but it's guaranteed. When our job is done, God's going to call us home. But not sooner or later. You know, you see people that's in horrific car wrecks or plane crashes or burning houses or whatever. And friends and family die, but you're left alone. Well, one thing is, you're not alone. But it wasn't your time. God still has a plan for your life. You know, and it may be not for you, but it may be for somebody else watching your life. Because, you know, I've said for years that a lot of times we're the only Bible a lot of people ever read. Because they see us, they watch us. Whether we realize it or not, we're being watched. Especially if there's little kids running around, they watch everything we do. But adults are the same way. But we're never alone. We have that faith, that hope, and security that Jesus Christ is always going to be there for us, no matter what goes on in our lives. You know, we should be like little kids or even adults sometimes. You know, when we get close to a birthday or a special day, we get excited and really want to tell people about it. You know, my birthday's coming up, or Christmas is coming and this is what I want for Christmas. You know, we get excited and we want to tell the world. Well, friends, Christians ought to be even more so by seeing the things going on around us. You know, you read the book of Daniel, you read the book of Revelation, and you say, yeah, automatically, I'm saved, I know where I'm going, turn it off. But we ought to be real excited as Christians, because things are coming to fruition. Things are happening, lighting the path that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. We ought to be getting excited. We ought to be telling the world that, you know, our Savior is coming back soon. But instead, as a whole, we shrink back and, oh, we're so afraid. We have that fear. We have that doubt that Satan has placed there. We get complacent. Our churches are seeing that. Even before the pandemic, our numbers were dwindling. Years ago, churches would be filled to capacity. People were excited. They loved coming to church. And now, it's Sunday. I guess I gotta go. Yeah, I'm supposed to go to church today. It's Sunday. Or it's Wednesday night. Instead, oh boy, I get to go to church. You know, we see that with Alex a lot of times. Grandson, you know, he gets excited about coming to his church. He calls this his church. And he wants to come over the night before and spend the night, so he makes sure he gets to church on time. And we as Christians ought to have that same ideology, that same feeling. Instead of, well, I had a drug problem. Yeah, I was drugged to church yesterday. I was drugged here. I was drugged there. But we ought to have that opposite feeling. We need to have the Spirit lifted. Because we have Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Him. Because He strengthens us. He gives us that strength and power. So I close with this today. Just a simple question. How's your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Is it a yearning to see Him and the enjoyment of it? Or if it happens, it happens. Think about it. All right. Close with that.